Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Now I want to talk to you about a very simple subject in reality, but a very important subject. Just a simple question that I want to ask to you today. Are you saved? Are you saved? And so we're going to look at that this morning. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do I know that? Because you should know the answer to that question very simply, without much thought, really. But are you saved? John chapter 3, verse 17. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Now, when he says the world, he's talking about mankind, to save people through him. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a trustworthy saying. Everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them all. Now, if Paul says he's the worst, I think I'd have issue with him, because I think I am. And that, it's amazing that he says that. Now, just so we all are together on this, what do we mean when we say saved? Well, I put the definition, the meaning, in your notes. When you die, you know that you will spend eternity with God in heaven. That's what it means to be saved. We're saved from hell. We're saved for heaven. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. When I use the term saved, that's what I mean. You know this. First of all, there's a false salvation. Some people think, well, you know, I'm saved because I'm a good person. You know, I do good things. Being a good person doesn't save you. Well, I know people that are really good. They're better than most Christians. That doesn't mean a thing. You see, we're all born with the nature to sin. The Bible says no one is good. And I don't care how good you are not good enough to be saved. You cannot expect God just to accept you because of I'm good, because we're not. Sin has invaded all of our lives. All of us are sinners. And so thinking you're a good person or there's a lot of good people in the world, that doesn't account for salvation. Secondly, false salvation means, well, I got a spiritual pedigree. You know, I was raised in a Christian home. Well, good for you. You're fortunate. But that doesn't make you a Christian. Just because your mom and dad were Christians, were saved, by the way, I'll use the term saved, Christian, same thing, they're that way, doesn't mean you are. I mean, well, I've raised in a wealthy family. Well, that's good, but that doesn't make you saved. You know, well, I was baptized as an infant. That doesn't save you. As an infant, you just got a little wet. That's all that happened. Your parents felt a little better because, well, we did the right thing. We took our kids, we did this, and now we feel good and everything's taken care of. No, it's not. It's not the way it works. And you see, well, I was raised in a spiritual home. I went to church as a kid. I know all the songs. I know all the stories. You can go to church all your life and not be saved. Going into church doesn't make you a Christian. Well, I'm a church member. That doesn't make you a Christian. Now, I hope all of our members are Christians. And if you're not a Christian, you shouldn't be a member. Okay. You know, spiritual pedigree. Well, you know, I'm saved because I'm an American patriot. Well, Pastor, don't we live in a Christian nation? No, we don't. Well, look around at our nation. You couldn't call it Christian if you tried. Well, you know, and there's a lot of people think, well, I'm an American, that makes me a Christian. That is just not true. It doesn't work that way. Well, I have a successful position. I mean, God's blessed me. Look at all I've done and look at all I can do for God. You can be at the top of the heap. You can be the CEO. You can be the one calling all the shots. That does not make you a Christian. And so there's all these reasons and others that people think, well, I'm just good enough and, you know, I can do what I want to do and there's a lot of ways to God and I'm a good person and that'll make me good. No, no, no. Bible says there's only one way to be saved, and that's called through faith. And we're going to look at the faith of salvation. Let me just give you some scriptures. Let's look at them right away. So, and I could give you a lot of scriptures for this. John 1:12. All who believed, all who have faith, all who believed him and accepted him, speaking of Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God, to become saved. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. They are born again. I was born once as a human being. I am born again as a Christian. Romans 3:21. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God freely and graciously declares that we're righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Down a few more verses in verse 27. Can we boast then that we've done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith. And not by obeying the law, or today's version, not by keeping the rules. Romans 10:9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by believing, not by seeing. Finally, Hebrews 10:37, in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith. But I'll take no pleasure in anyone who turns away, but we're not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. We say, okay, Pastor, I understand. I got to have faith, but faith in what? What does that faith entail? What kind of faith do I need to have? Well, let me give you four things to kind of explain that. First of all, you and I believe that Jesus came to earth. That when Adam and Eve sinned, God promised a Savior to come into this world, a Messiah. And Jesus Christ was born of a virgin into this world, fully man, fully God, and lived without sin. And he lived on this earth, and by his own words, he said, if you see me, you see the Father. And he came and lived on earth to show us what God was like and to live a life without sin so that he could give his life for us. Secondly, Jesus was crucified. It's a historical fact. They killed him because they didn't like him. They killed him because he said he could forgive sins. Because he said he was God, and he was. They killed him because he went against what they thought was right. They thought you had to keep the law. He was saying, no, the law no longer counts. And because of his opposition to what they wanted to believe, they crucified him. And that's what people do today. If they don't like what Jesus teaches, they don't like what God says, they find some way to get rid of him. Some way to get around him. And so they killed him. Thirdly, Jesus conquered. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. Jesus conquered Satan. Jesus paid the price for our sins. Jesus was the sacrifice that is able to take away our sins. And so he conquered sin. He overcame it. He lived without sin. a sinless man, died so that you and I could have our sins forgiven. And he came for this person to die for us. And by his death and by his resurrection, he has declared that he is able to forgive the sins of all of mankind. He conquered it all. And fourthly, Jesus is coming again. One day, the Bible says that Jesus Christ will come back to this earth and he will reign as the king over all of the earth. He will reign here for 1,000 years and then he will destroy the earth. And we will have a new earth and a new heaven. He is coming again to show that he is the king, to show that he is the savior, to demonstrate his victory. Well, Pastor, if he conquered and he's already victorious, then what's going on in the world today? Well, there's a battle that's still raging, but make no mistake about it, this battle, the outcome has already been decided. And one day, Jesus Christ is going to visibly show us all that he is the king over all things. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, you see, here's the deal. None of us have seen any of this. We haven't. We read about it. We read about it in the Bible. You can read about it in history. We know about it. So how am I going to believe something I haven't seen? Well, that's why we use this word faith. Well, Pastor, I don't understand all of this completely. How can him doing this provide this? How could this work like this? You know what? I don't know. But I believe it. And salvation means I believe what I don't see. But I believe that Jesus Christ is real. I believe he lived on this earth. I believe that he was crucified. I believe that he conquered the grave, and I believe he's coming again. Can you give me all the facts on that? Can you prove it to me? Well, if you don't want to believe the Bible and if you don't want to believe history, it's going to be hard to prove it to you. Well, I want to understand everything. Listen, if you want to understand everything, you're not going to live long enough to do that. But we believe it. And thus, as we read just a few moments ago, we live by believing and not seeing, and that's why it says we live by faith. Faith means I don't have all the answers. Faith means I don't fully understand everything and everything that's involved. Faith means, but I believe it. I believe it. And so if you're going to be saved, there is only one way to be saved, and that's by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in what he has done for you and I. Faith in what he's going to do in the future. You and I are saved by faith. Nothing else, nothing more. Pretty simple, right? Yeah, right. Pretty complex, right? Yep. But truth. And so that's what the Bible says. I'm not saved by any of the other things. Well, you know, I'm just going to be a good person. That won't save you. Well, I'll do a lot of good things in the community. That won't save you. Well, I'll be good to my family and everybody else, and I'll be nice to dogs and even cats. That won't save you. Okay? None of that saves you. You and I are saved only one way. And Jesus said it. There is no other name under heaven by which you can be saved. And so we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, Pastor, well, I say I believe that, but how do I know? Well, one of the ways that you know is by the fruit of your salvation. Now, as I talk about this, I want you to understand very clearly, so don't miss this. You are saved by faith, period. Got it? But if you're saved, there should be some evidence in that by the way that you live. Would you agree that with me? Now, here's the deal. I don't get to judge anybody else. Well, they say they are, but they're not acting like it. Sorry, you're not the judge. They could be looking at you saying the same thing, by the way. All I can do is deal with me, correct? So you don't use this for anybody else, it's just for me. And as I'm not going to do these things to be saved. I am saved, and therefore, because I'm saved, because my faith has been put in Jesus Christ, I will now live with the fruit that is the result of that belief. Because what you believe determines your behavior. What you think determines how you act. It's a fact of life. And so let's look at some scriptures of that. Philippians 1:9. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. Notice the word growing. I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always, now notice this, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. You should be filled with the fruit of your salvation. What is that? The righteous character that's produced in your life because of your belief in Jesus Christ. James 2:14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? The answer, by the way, is no. 1 John 3:9. Those who've been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning. Notice, you don't make a practice of it. Do you still sin? Sure you do. We're human. We're not perfect. Because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they're children of God. So now we can tell who the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. So these verses are saying very clearly that if you call yourself a Christian, your behavior should change. That you should live differently than everybody else. You see, I don't think it's possible for you to come into a church or any place else for that mother, say you, yeah, I accepted Christ, I'm a believer in him, and so I'm saved. And then you go out and nothing changes in the way you're living. Can that happen? Doesn't Christ in you make a difference in how you live? A little slow there. But you see, we want to live like everybody else. We like the things the world likes. We just like those things. But you see, if you're not living God, you can live however you want. But if you truly have accepted Christ, then you're going to live a righteous life. You're going to do what's right before God, his ways, and not your own. Your choice, your call, but it's the fruit of being saved. Because when I accept Christ into my life, choose to believe in him by faith and what he's done, he comes to live in me by his Spirit. And he directs my life. Galatians 5:16 is probably one of the clearest things of this. I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Now, this next sentence is very important. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. We all have that battle, don't we? Yes, we do. Okay. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. You know, it's not about keeping rules. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not go to heaven. right? But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. And since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So whenever I talk about being saved, it's very easy to talk about how salvation happens. It's a little harder because we don't want to go into a works-based salvation. We don't want to tell you, look, if you're saved, you got to do this, you know, you don't smoke, you don't chew, and you don't go the girls who do, you know, that type of thing. You don't start these lists of things. Well, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. Those rules don't save you. Those rules, there's people who can keep the rules and still not be saved. Salvation is about the Spirit of God, God himself, living in me, and because he lives in me, I want to live differently. And basically what we just read here, and you hear me say it over and over again, week after week probably, I stop living for me, and I start living for God. I do what pleases him, not what pleases me. I do what's right, not what I want to justify. So what does that look like? Again, just a few things, not to set rules in place, but to help you. Am I saved? Okay, I believe in Jesus. Now, what? How do I know that? Okay, number one, I allow the Holy Spirit to control my life. I am allowing the Holy Spirit to control my life. Now, notice I read earlier that our lives are never free from this conflict. Do you and I always win that battle? No, we don't. I wish we did, but we don't. But here's the deal. As I walk with God, I win that battle more than I lose it. And as I walk with God, I begin to do those things that are right. And how do you know that? Well, he gives us a list there that says, look, if he's in control, this is what your life will look like. So that's my goal. That's my measurement. God, I want you to be in control of my life. Well, how am I going to know when he's in control? Because I'll have these things. I'll have this, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That should be the measurement of our life. That's who Christians are called to be. And so if I've accepted him and he lives in me, there should be a fruit from that, correct? And that fruit should look like I am more like Christ than I am like the world. And that's what I want to do. And so I need to allow him to be in control of me. I need to allow his ways to direct my path. I need to do what's right, not what I feel like doing, not what everybody else is doing, but what will please God. Because I live to please him. Secondly, I'm more Christ-like today than yesterday. And I thought about this wording here, and maybe I should change it. I'm more Christ-like today than I was a year ago. But you know what? I've been saved for over 50-some years. I've still got work to do on this. But as I look back over my life, as you look back over your life, could you say there's an improvement? That I am more patient today than I was 2 years ago. That I am more kind today than I was 2 years ago. Now, for some of you, pat yourself on the back for a moment, but not too long. Because there's still a ways to go, correct? There's still a way to go. But that's what I look. Am I improving? Because, see, the Christian life isn't static. You don't get to one place and just stay there. That's why the Bible throughout the New Testament constantly speaks of growing. When it says that, it's your life should be growing so that you're becoming more and more like Christ every day. And so when I look back over my life, you know what? I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. But I do love God, and I am getting better at this. And because I'm allowing these things to be more productive in my life, I can see that there's progress. I want to keep that going. And so I'm more like Christ than I was. I'm not perfect, but I want to work for perfection. I don't have it all together, but I want to work towards getting it all together. Because inside of me, when I accepted Christ in my life, there was an inward transformation, and I want that inward transformation to work itself outward. Because what's in you controls you. So, am I more like Christ? Do I have a concern for others? You see, it's always about Jesus when he talks about it, says, and you got to love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love other people. That's where missions comes in. I don't care about just me anymore. I care about other people. In other words, here's the deal. I want other people to be saved. Jesus doesn't want anyone to go to hell, and neither do I. And what am I doing to help other people know about Christ? It might be something simple, like they just make a comment, wow, you sure seem happy today. Yeah, God's good to me. Maybe something simple, like, hey, you like to come to church with me? It doesn't have to be, don't have to be in your face with everybody, but you are concerned. Are you praying for other people, your friends, your family, people that are around your life? Do you care about what happens to them? Do you care about their walk with God? And you and I have to have a concern for other people. And me being saved means I care about people. Well, I'm not going to let anybody walk over me. I'm going to be my own person. If you want anything done in this life, you got to do it yourself. Well, you know, I'm me, and I don't care what anybody else does. I'm just going to take care of me. That is not a Christian way of thinking. You and I are servants. We don't have to have our way. We care more about others than ourselves. Finally, you live in communion with the body. There is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. If you're a Christian, you love the church. You love the body of Christ. We are a part of the body. That's how God made us. That's what he wants for us. That's why we do groups. Because I want to be involved with the body of Christ. Well, I just want to take care of me. I want to come in, sit down, walk out, go home, do my thing. I don't need anybody else. If you're a Christian, you need people. Because that helps you grow. That helps you mature. That helps you become the person that God wants you to be and Christ wants you to be. And in just a moment, we're going to take communion this morning. And see, communion is this great thing that we get to do together. You know, if somebody calls me up, you know, if they're really sick and something, that's one thing. But if somebody, you know, Pastor, I just want to take communion on my own. Could you come and serve me communion? I don't want to do it in church. I won't do it. Because communion is about the body of Christ. It's about us being together. Now, if you're in a hospital room and you can't get out, we're more than willing to do that. But see, there's something about us being together that changes everything. That's why we gather together, not just to do our little duty in the morning, but to join together with the body of Christ. And so here's the question. Are you saved? Do you believe this? And do you behave like it? Not because, well, I got to do all these things in order to earn it. No. But because Christ is alive in me and has changed my life will demonstrate that change. And I will live for God and not for myself. That's salvation.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.